As a kid, I remember very regularly praying that God would give me good dreams for the night. In fact, I do believe it was a nightly prayer. And I remember quite vividly one night with my mom sitting on the side of my bed for the nighttime ritual of, you know, story time and prayers and a good night kiss. I remember asking her, "Mom, am I too old to pray for good dreams?" I must have felt a little silly praying it yet again, as at that time, you know, as a boy, I was growing up a bit. Mom assured me that I was never too old to pray for good dreams. I've been thinking about that prayer these past couple of weeks, and I realized why I prayed that prayer so regularly. See, I remember I used to have a recurring dream. It wasn't every night, but it was often enough to where I still remember it to this day. You ever had one of those? A recurring dream? Did it ever bug you? How often do you think about it? Did it intrigue you? See, I don't have any scientific data as to how many people experience these or how often recurring dreams happen, but I know that for me, I remember mine all the way from childhood. So, without going into too much detail, the dream I had was this. I was somewhere around age 8. Right? Running playfully from my grandparents' house in Eugene, Oregon, up the street about 6 houses or so to my aunt's house. But every time I had this dream, when I reached the juniper bushes that marked the beginning of my aunt's property, I would look back and I would see a rattlesnake chasing me. A rattlesnake. If you know me at all, you know I have never been a fan of snakes. The proper emotional feeling that I experience is terror when I think of them. So, in my dream, to have a rattlesnake chasing me, you can see this was not a good dream. In my dream, never once did I make it to my aunt's house. Every time I had the dream, no matter how fast I was running, the snake always caught up with me. And every time I had the dream, the snake was in the act of striking my heel, right? Fangs long and sharp, dripping with venom, mouth wide open, and at just that moment, I would wake up, literally sweating and out of breath. I don't remember how often this happened, but it recurred over many years. In fact, I was married to Abby and still having this dream. It was then that I finally realized I needed to share this dream with someone, so I shared it with her. And you talk about God's timing. At the moment, Abby was getting her master's degree in counseling from Gonzaga. She had a professor who, in whatever class it was sharing with the kids, exposing the students to interpreting dreams. So Abby, just for practice, asked me a few questions about the dream. She had me place myself in the dream and then asked what would happen if I didn't wake up right as the snake was going to strike. Of course, I didn't know that answer because I had always woken up right as it was there. The next time I had that dream, I remember having almost one of those out-of-body experiences. I knew I was asleep. I knew that I was dreaming, but it was as if I was watching the scene play out from above, right? The playfully running, then terrorized little boy James. This time, I forced myself to stay asleep. Every ounce of me wanted to wake up, right? Fangs dripping, mouth ready to strike, but I forced myself to stay asleep. And you want to know what happened? The snake struck, and it missed, and it struck again, and it missed again, and struck and missed and struck and missed, and each time I could hear this loud thud as the fangs hit the sidewalk. Now, I don't remember waking up that time. I don't remember how the dream ended, aside from the snake never being able to bite me. What I do know is this. I never once had that dream again. In thinking about this over the past couple of weeks, this terrible, terrorizing dream, I finally gave myself a little grace for so many nights praying that God would give me good dreams. You know, I wonder, as an adult, should I still be praying to God to give me good dreams? Or should I ask Him to give me God dreams? No longer good dreams, but God dreams. Could dreams be a way that God would communicate with us? Could dreams be a way that we could learn to listen to His voice? Job's friend in Job chapter 33, verses 14 and 15 said, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. Could dreams be a way that God would talk to us still today? I mean, if he asked us, can you hear me now while we're sleeping, would we be willing to answer yes? Something to think about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we once again come to your story of you and us, I pray that you would help us listen to what you want us to learn through it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so if this is the first time you're joining us this morning, welcome. And if you've missed a few Sundays, welcome back. We're in the middle of a sermon series titled, Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Listen to God. So far, we've been reminded that God still wants to communicate to us today. And we've been practicing different practical practices that could help us learn to listen to God better. So far, we've practiced silence. We've practiced stillness. We've practiced listening for God's voice through the Bible. And last week, we have been purposely practicing the art of listening for God's voice through other people. Now, catch this, because this is cool. I've had a few conversations with people in this past week, people who I think God was speaking through to me. Or when I heard what they were hearing from other people, they too believed that God would have been speaking to them through these other people. Listen, friends, when we put into practice these practical practices that we're talking about in this series, I truly believe that God is allowing us to hear his voice in ways that we may not have expected. It's pretty exciting to see it taking place. This week, as you've already probably guessed, we're going to look at the idea that God can and does still communicate with us through dreams. Here's that verse again in Job, chapter 33, verse 14 and 15. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. Scripture. You know, the Bible has many examples of God talking to people, communicating to them through their dreams. Many of the times, the dreamers did actually recognize their dream was from God, that God was talking to them. In fact, I'm indebted to a man named Jeffrey Kranz, who did a study of the dreams in Scripture. And then he did this fascinating blog post with cartoon pictures and everything in it. That's actually how I learned best, through cartoons. Okay? He was showing the dreams in Scripture. Now, the link to this blog post will be on a slide at the end of the service. Anyways, through Jeffrey's post, I learned that there are 21 dreams recorded in the Bible. Now, I didn't have a chance to read the entire Bible this past week, so I can't confirm this number for sure, but it sounds good. 10 of those dreams, of the 21, happen to be in the book of Genesis. 6 of the dreamers are kings. We have 1 recorded dreamer who was a woman, and 2 of the main dreamers are guys named Joseph. All the dreams that we'll look at happened while people were asleep. Now, you may be thinking, that's obvious, right? But I want you to note this. There's dreams in Scripture, and then there's visions. Dreams happen while people are asleep, and I could do a whole nother sermon on the ways God speaks through visions, which, similar to dreams, but happen while people are awake. So I'm not going to preach that sermon today. Know this, God does speak through visions just as well. Today, we're talking about dreams. And I'm not going to talk in depth about all 21 of these dreams, but it is fun, and it's kind of eye-opening to do a quick overview. So here it is. The dreams start in Genesis chapter 20, when King Abimelech is warned through a dream that the woman Abraham claimed was his sister was actually Abraham's wife. Remember that dream? God didn't want Abimelech to do things married people do with someone else's wife, so God showed up in Abimelech's dream and warned the king about it. A few chapters later, Genesis chapter 28 and Genesis chapter 31, we see 3 dreams that involve Abraham's son, Jacob. Jacob first was on his way to go find a wife. This is a stressful time, but an exciting time indeed. While he was laying his head on a rock to sleep, I guess he forgot his pillow. Okay, he was laying his head on a rock to sleep. Jacob has this crazy dream about a ladder extending from earth to heaven. And this ladder has angels going up and down. A few chapters later, after finding a wife, God told Jacob it was time to go back home with his wife, his kids, and the many livestock he had accumulated while he was gone from home. So Jacob, in a pretty sneaky way, left his father-in-law's place without giving his wife's dad and the grandpa of his kiddos a chance to say goodbye. Needless to say, Grandpa Laban was pretty upset about this. Now, thankfully, Laban, who was chasing after Jacob, God warned him in a dream to leave Jacob alone and not to be mean to him, not to retaliate. So you see, God used dreams to communicate clearly to this king and then to this guy named Jacob. Fast forward in the story, and we come to the first Joseph, who was a dreamer. I encourage you actually to read his entire story, Genesis chapter 37 to 50, and see some of his dreams and the dreams that he actually interpreted for other people. He had a couple of dreams. The first, he dreamed of grain. The second, he dreamed of stars. And both of these dreams were telling Joseph that his family, his brothers, his parents would eventually bow to him. Later on, as he was in prison, he interpreted dreams for his prison cellmates about grapes and branches and wine. And then another cellmate about bread and pastries that are in a basket on his head that the birds actually eat. That's Genesis chapter 40. Joseph would later interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Two of his dreams. Dreams about cows and stalks of grain that were eating each other. Genesis chapter 41. This, Joseph said, was signified an upcoming famine. And God was communicating through dreams so that an entire region of the world, including the family unit that would later be called the Israelites, so that this region would be saved from famine. Fast forward again in the story. We're flying. I know that. We come to a man named Gideon. He was famous for winning a battle, a pretty big battle, after reducing his army from 32,000 down to 10,000 down to 300 fighting men. Gideon's army was now severely outmanned and overmatched by the Midianite army. Now, the night before the battle, Gideon snuck into the Midianite camp and overheard one of their warriors telling another warrior about a dream that guy had had. This is Judges chapter 7, verse 13. It says, Gideon crept up just as the man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. The man listening to the dream, not the dreamer, and not someone who followed Israel's God, not someone who followed Yahweh, he then interprets this other man's dream. Judges chapter 7, verse 14. His companion answered, your dream can only mean one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all of its allies. Crazy dream about a loaf of bread knocking over a tent. Really? I mean, I would have thought that was just indigestion. In fact, listen, six of the dreams in the early Old Testament dealt with food or things that became food. I tell you what, if I had dreams like that, I would have started asking myself what I ate for dinner the night before. Anyways, let's keep going. God would later, in a dream, come to King Solomon, giving him anything the king could possibly want. King asked for this. Ask for whatever you want. And King Solomon wisely asks for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3. You go to the next dreamer. And if you remember our sermon series that we were in when the COVID quarantine started, you'll remember that Daniel, in the Old Testament, he dealt a lot with dreams. He told King Nebuchadnezzar, what his dreams about a statue and a tree meant. That's Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 4. And Daniel himself would later have a dream about four beasts. This was a wild and vivid dream found in Daniel chapter 7. And so at this point in the scriptures, the rest of the dreams that are recorded jump into the New Testament, and they are about events that surround Jesus, events that Jesus is involved in. His earthly dad, Joseph, is our second dreamer named Joe. Joseph heard from God several times in dreams. God told Joe first to marry his fiance, Jesus' mom, even though the baby that she was having wasn't his. Another dream. God told the Magi in a dream, the wise men who came looking for Jesus, to go home a different route because King Herod wasn't happy with them. Then God talks again to Joe, to Joseph. He says to Joe, move to Egypt. This is after Jesus was born. And then another dream, he says, move back to Israel. And then in yet another dream, he says, wait, but don't move back to Judea quite yet. Three different dreams, three different necessary sets of directions, three very clear dreams that were from God, protecting the baby Jesus from people who wanted to harm him. All these dreams take place in Matthew chapter 2, if you're wondering. Okay, the final dream that we have recorded in Scripture, the final of the 21, was the one that we have recorded from a woman. It was actually a dream that Pontius Pilate's wife had before Pilate sentenced Jesus to death. And we don't know exactly what her dream was, but we know that she had it. The gospel writer Matthew records in chapter 27, verse 19, "Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message, 'Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night.'" Whatever her nightmare was, we don't know. But it did tell her that Jesus was innocent. Pilate didn't listen to his wife or to her dream. Maybe this takes us back to Job chapter 33. "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds." Okay, you may be thinking, this is all well and good, right? But perhaps you're wondering if God still speaks through dreams, right? Perhaps you're thinking, you know what? This sort of thing only happened in the Bible. Well, if you're thinking that, you'd be wrong. That's right. I said it. You'd be wrong. See, I was reading a book last week titled Kingdom Collaborators, and the author was talking about looking for where God was working in the world and joining him. The author, Reggie McNeil, was giving a seminar in Portugal to several country leaders, like 12 different country leaders around Europe. And one woman from the former Soviet country asked to speak to Reggie McNeil during the break. I'll read the account. This is page 15. It says, "She took a piece of paper out of her purse that had a drawing on it. 'I received this image from God in a dream,' she said. 'I don't quite know what it means, but I think it's a clue as to how I'm supposed to proceed with a national ministry of prayer." Reggie said to her, "Well, this is the network system, and it's simple," but anyway, she began to cry, and they talked about how they could proceed with her vision. God answered her dream with a network diagram from a dream, from her vision, right? Now, yes, it's in a book. I've heard many stories about, like, people from other countries and different faith practices, Muslims in particular that have dreams. They don't believe in God, in Yahweh, but God shows up in the dream and he communicates with them as to where to go, who to talk to. And, you know, these people end up encountering Christ. And these stories are not so rare. But here again, maybe you've got some hesitation, some reservation, some cynicism beginning to rise up within you. And I want to tell you, that'd be fair. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, so God still speaks through dreams to people in Scripture and to people around the world, to other people in other countries of other nationalities, but he doesn't do that in Spokane anymore. He hasn't done that to me, right? If these questions are rising up within you, good for you. I don't think, at least for me personally, that God has ever communicated with me in a dream. So as I was preparing for this message, I'll be honest, I was a little bit leery as well. But I think that God wants us to ask these type of questions. I think God wants us to wrestle. I think God wants us to stretch in ways where we learn to listen to him, perhaps giving him opportunity to speak to us through something like a dream. When Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, stood up to address a large crowd that had gathered, he quoted an Old Testament prophet named Joel. This was right after Pentecost, and everybody's speaking in different tongues of different languages. And Peter stands up and he says, wait, guys, these people are not drunk. Make no mistake of this. It's only 9 a.m. He says, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In these last days, this is Acts 2:17, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. Friends, if through the Holy Spirit of God, visions and dreams will still be had today, then I think you need to be ready to listen. We need to be ready to pay attention. And you know what, guys? This does happen still where we live. I've got a friend who pastors a church in Colville currently. Many of you know him. Actually, some of you have been part of his formative years as a pastor. His name is Pastor Dick Dickinson. In talking with him over the past years, he has shared with me some of the dreams that God has given him, dreams that have come true. So I actually asked him to share a little bit about them. Here he is.
Good morning, First Church. I'm Pastor Dick up here in Colville, and Pastor James has asked me to just send you a little video of some of my experiences with God. I know that God speaks to us in various ways, even through dreams. In fact, in Joel chapter 2, it says that I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm an old man, and so I dream dreams. And I had a dream when I was in Missoula, Montana, which you got to know that Missoula is pretty much lily white. When I was there, I think it was our second year there, I had this dream. And the dream is I was standing in front of a polka-dotted congregation, and it was in a circle, in a semicircle all the way around me. And you couldn't tell which nationality. There wasn't one color here, one color here. It was polka dotted. And the place was full. And it was vibrant. And the worship was vibrant. And I remember waking up and telling Sheila about this dream and going, this is strange, because I had this dream that I was preaching before this multicultural congregation in a sanctuary that was semicircle. And I just packed it away as, you know, a dream, didn't really know. Well, a couple years later, Bishop Snyder gave me a call. He said, you know, Dick, there's this church in Washington, D.C. It's a very important church. And we want to keep it, but it's struggling right now. And when I think about that church, I think about you and your ability to be able to turn around a church. Would you be willing to go there? I'm thinking, man, I'm replanting a church in Missoula, and I guess it can't hurt to go see. And Sheila said, yeah, go see it. So I flew there, and I went to the church. And when I walked in, I looked around, and it was a semicircle sanctuary. And I'm kind of looking around, and at that point, it didn't dawn on me. But then as I sat down, actually, I sat down, and the lady came up to me and said I was sitting in her seat. So I had to move. She had no idea I was the one that they were considering to be the next pastor. And so I sat and I watched and I looked around, and it was mostly a white congregation. There was a few cultures in there, but not a whole lot. And I'm looking around and I'm listening. And I went to their society meeting, and they didn't have much money, and, you know, the normal things that happen to declining churches. But it wasn't until I went to the grocery store two blocks away. When I went into that store, and I was in the vegetable department, I looked around, and there wasn't one white person in the whole store. And I was not hearing English. I was hearing every kind of language you can imagine. And I remember standing there going, hearing the voice of God. I don't even know how to explain it to you. But it was like the voice of God said, this is it. And so I went home and I said, Sheila, you remember that dream I had several years ago? And she goes, yeah. I said, I think this church in D.C. is the church we're supposed to be at. And it wasn't me that did this, but in 7 years, that church went from a few nationalities to over 40 nationalities. And I remember one in particular Sunday, I'm standing there, I'm preaching, and the place is packed, and it was polka dotted. See, God speaks. He can speak through dreams. He can speak to young people through visions. But I know that God speaks through his word as well. So, James, thank you for letting me share that little slice of my communication with God and God's communication with me. God bless you.
Job chapter 33, verses 14 and 15, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. God does still speak to people through dreams, even today, even in our time, even in our own cultural context. Thank you, Pastor Dick, for being willing to share with us. I absolutely love that God gave you this dream and then brought it to fulfillment. And I love that you and Sheila recognized that your dream was God communicating with you. God absolutely does still speak through dreams. Now, I could wrap up with that, but I want to give you a kind of a word of caution before I do wrap up. I jokingly said earlier that if I had some vivid dreams, I would wonder what I had for dinner the night before. All joking aside, not every dream that we dream is from God. And not every dream that somebody else dreams is from God either. The prophet Jeremiah warned of this. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25. He said, I have heard prophets say, listen to the dream I had from God last night. And then they proceed to tell lies in my name. We don't want to be led astray by someone telling us they had a dream from God and we need to respond to it. We need to be wary and willing to test the dream to make sure they truly did hear it from God. So how do we do that? How do we test this? Well, three quick ways that you can do this. First, test the dream against Scripture. Does what you dreamed, or the person sharing their dream with you, does it line up with the God we see in the pages of the Bible? Scripture says Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. So does the dream line up with the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, and beyond. If the dream you're having or the dream you're hearing from somebody else does not line up with the heartbeat and character of God that we see throughout these pages, then be very cautious as to whether or not to accept the dream as a dream from the Lord. And that's the first way. Second way is this, to test the dream. Spend some time discussing the dream with God in prayer. Kind of seems like a no-brainer, right? Is the dream you're dreaming exciting? Is it something new? Talk to God. Is the dream something scary? Is it something that creates apprehension within you? Talk to God about it. The Apostle Paul told the church in Philippi, a verse that many of us know, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank him for all he has done, and then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can possibly understand. So, second way to test the dream is to pray about it. Talk to the God that you believe that dream was from. If it is from him, he'll give you a peace about it, even if it's something that creates apprehension within you. But don't just do this alone. Don't just pray alone. This leads us to our third way to test the dream. Seek other godly counsel to help you discern if your dream or the dream you're hearing about is from God. I mean, remember last week we talked about hearing God's voice through other people? And remember, there are numerous verses about this, about seeking godly wisdom and counsel from other people in the Bible. I mean, how many of the 21 dreams that we breezed through to start this sermon, how many of them were discussed among a couple different people and then interpreted by somebody else? Quite a few of them. I can let you go back and count on your own. Include others in helping determine if the dreams you're encountering are indeed from the Lord. So those are my words of caution, right? Three things. Compare your dream to what you know about the God of Scriptures. Second, pray about your dream. Talk to God about your dream. And third, include others in your discerning process. Friends, I can confidently say that God does still speak through dreams. And I want to be bold enough to ask him to speak in whatever ways he wants to. And if that is through a dream I have or somebody else has, I want to be able to tell God, hey, God, I can definitely hear you now. You know, I wonder. I started off talking about the young James's prayer to God to give him good dreams. Remember, I asked my mom if I was too old to pray for good dreams. I wonder now if I'd be bold enough to pray not for good dreams, but to pray for God dreams. Dreams where God shows up and communicates with me. Dare I pray this prayer? God, I'm going to sleep now, so speak to me in my dreams, for your child is listening. Each week, I've given you a challenge, a practical practice to practice, as I've been calling it, to practice listening for God in ways that we have talked about. I want to do the same thing again this week. Are you ready for it? This week, I want you to take a nap. That's right. Or go to bed early. Or just go to bed at your normal time. But before you allow your body to drift into the deep slumber, let God know that you'll do your best to listen to him if he wants to tell you something in a dream. Be courageous enough to ask him for a God dream. And if you think he answers that prayer, share that dream with someone. Call them up. Text them. If you're bold and brave enough, post it on the church Facebook page. Let's see what happens when we drift off into sleep, asking God to speak to us. Let's go back to Job 33 one more time. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. This week, friends, ask God to help you recognize it if he chooses to speak to you in a dream. Let's pray. Father, we are your children, and we want to hear from you. If that means you talk to us in a dream, help us to listen. Help us to listen well to whatever you say and however you say it. We look forward to how you're going to answer this prayer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.